From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. State Secretary Mike Pompeo is in the crosshairs of the House-led impeachment inquiry facing President Donald Trump. But his conduct at the U.S. State Department could be worthy of its own separate inquiry. Aside from failing to keep his staff immune from the pressures of Trump's political machinations, Pompeo has taken the U.S. State Department in a distinctly theological direction. Most recently, he gave a speech called On Being a Christian Leader under the official auspices of the State Department. It wasn't the first, and likely not the last, time he violated the tenets of separating church and state. My guest is Rob Boston, senior advisor at Americans United for Separation of Church and State. Welcome to the program, Rob.
Thanks for having me on, Sonali.
So first, when we think of the fundamentalist Christian influence within the Trump administration, we often think of Vice President Mike Pence, maybe Education Secretary Betsy DeVos, but Mike Pompeo, I feel like, just especially in the past year, has been unleashing his inner Christian publicly, and most importantly, within the official capacity of his role as State Department head. How does he compare, if you will, to the constellation of overtly, you know, Christian and pro-Christian members of the Trump administration?
Right, you're right about that. He's been flying a little under the radar on this issue, but suddenly decided a few weeks ago to make a big splash with this this speech about being a Christian in public service. They put that promptly and prominently on the State Department's website, made kind of a big deal about it. And, you know, I think the thing that really should concern us is not so much that a Christian is serving in public office, because that happens all the time. But Pompeo is very clear in describing how his Christian beliefs affect the decisions he makes and affect public policy. So that means that he's really setting public policy for the nation on the basis of his theology, which is definitely a concern.
So let's actually hear a short clip from this speech that he had given. This was a very interesting speech that he gave. Again, I said it's called Being a Christian Leader, and it was at the American Association of Christian Counselors. And the transcript of the speech was posted on the State Department's website as if it was part of official business. Here is a very short clip near the beginning of Pompeo's speech, where he sort of admitted that his remarks would likely cause concern.
That I know some people in the media will break out the pitchforks when they hear that I ask God for direction in my work. But you should know, as much as I'd like to claim originality, it is not a new idea. I love this quote from President Lincoln. He said that he said, quote, "I have been driven many times upon my knees by the overwhelming conviction I had nowhere else to go." And so with that in mind, I want to use my time today to think about what it means to be a Christian leader in three areas.
And that's a short clip from the very beginning of Mike Pompeo's speech that he gave in sort of early October. And in this clip that we played, Rob, he tried to claim that there was nothing new for American government officials to be directed by their Christianity. And he quoted President Lincoln, a quote that he says he loves. That Lincoln apparently said, "I have been driven many times upon my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go." You got a lot of laughter from that. But so how do you respond to this claim and the sense that he gave that it's nothing of concern, that this is quite normal to have this sort of Christian influence in government?
Well, the problem with that is that it's not a Christian influence. It's Mike Pompeo's interpretation of Christianity, or some other government official's interpretation of Christianity. And the interpretation of Christianity that they are putting forth may be radically different than what millions of other Americans who are Christians believe. You know, I always think about an historical example. During the Civil War, both the Union government and the Confederate government held up the Bible and held up Christianity and said that they were doing the quote-unquote Christian thing. The Confederates argued that slavery was mandated by the Bible and approved by the Bible, and the Union made the opposite argument. There's a reason why we don't base our public policy on the Bible or some other religious book, and it's because those religious books are notoriously open to different interpretations. And in the case of someone like Pompeo or Vice President Mike Pence and even Attorney General William Barr, who's also been on this tear lately of attacking separation of church and state, in the case of people like that, the Christianity that they are promoting is a narrow version that does not resonate with millions of people in this country.
One of the things that Pompeo also said, he sort of tried to make this case that as part of being a Christian leader, he was fair. He was, you know, he was someone who didn't treat people differently, even if he disagreed with them. He said a lot of times, members from my team will come into my office and they respectfully disagree. They'll have ideas that are different from mine, or in fact, often different from each other. I need to make sure that I listen, that I scrutinize each position before I say one is right or wrong, or that the truth is somewhere in between. My question, Rob, is what does this have to do with being a Christian leader? That just sounds like being a good manager or being a good head of anything. And why bring into it the Christianness of any of this?
Right, exactly. I mean, that sounds like a value that just about anybody would hold, whether you're religious or non-religious, being fair-minded, open-minded, listening to all points of view. But, you know, at the end of the day, even that's just verbiage. It's just talk. This is a guy who's working for what is quite possibly the most corrupt, dishonest administration we have seen in the history of this nation, and that's saying something. Where's the great Christian influence on this administration when it really counts? Mm-hmm. Why isn't he holding the president to a standard of truthfulness and higher behavior? He's not. He's just come along like everybody else in this administration. They talk a good line about religion. They talk a good line about Christianity and about Jesus. But at the end of the day, their actions say a lot more than their words.
Pompeo said, truth-telling isn't just a matter of private conversations for me. It's what I try to do publicly as we lay down President Trump's foreign policy to keep Americans safe and secure. Well, it just came out this week that in the testimony that his advisor, former advisor, now Michael McKinley, gave to Congress, to the House committees investigating Trump on the impeachment inquiry, McKinley said that he told Pompeo repeatedly, three times, about how concerned he was of the mistreatment of one of their ambassadors, Marie Yovanovitch, the U.S. ambassador to Ukraine, her mistreatment by Trump and others. Pompeo, on news interviews, said McKinley never once raised this issue with him. So either McKinley's lying or Pompeo's lying, and I guess we'll find out eventually who is really truth-telling privately and publicly. What about this other article that came out in the Washington Post recently, that under Mike Pompeo's leadership, the State Department launched its first ever employee Christian faith group? This is apparently some sort of employee group, a staff organization, a faith-based affinity group, if you will, called GRACE. That's an acronym by which they go. So it seems as though Pompeo is having a pretty serious influence within the State Department.
Yes, I think so. But at the same time, these types of employee affinity groups are pretty common in the federal government. Now, oftentimes they're based around maybe heritage. So there might be a Latino group or a group for African Americans, or there are groups for LGBTQ employees and people who have some kind of shared experience. That's not too shocking. What concerns me is that anytime you bring religion or an interpretation of religion or an interpretation of Christianity into public arena, into the public policy, into the public arena, that could possibly have an effect on the rights of others. I can give you an example that's playing out right now in the Trump administration. We have seen policy after policy after policy from this administration designed to decimate the rights of LGBTQ citizens. And that's coming largely from pressure from religious right organizations. So when they talk about Christianity and their faith and how important that is, that's having an effect on public policy and the rights of millions of Americans. And in the case of foreign policy, which Pompeo is in charge of, it's even more troubling, because I don't really want fundamentalist Christians who have this end times version of theology having a disproportionate impact on public policy and our foreign policy, especially because they have a certain script that they believe is going to play out in a certain way, you know, according to their interpretation of the Bible and the end times prophecies. I would rather that sort of thing be kept far away from our foreign policy.
Hmm. Well, going back to this affinity group, Christian group of employees in the State Department, the Washington Post interviewed the executive director of the Interfaith Alliance, who said that this group is problematic because by using government resources during working hours, it appears to violate the constitutional ban on government establishing or favoring a particular religious group. That's apparently what makes it different from other affinity groups. He said the Constitution doesn't prohibit bowling leagues, but it's very clear about religion. So just because this might be worth saying, can you explain to us what exactly is in the Constitution about separating church and state and why it is important to do so?
Well, it's interesting. The First Amendment's religion freedom clauses are only 16 words long, and they're kind of vague. They say Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And it's been left to the courts to interpret that principle and what it means. But I think at a bare minimum, I would hope most Americans would agree that the government should not be in the business of promoting one particular religion, elevating it over others, or advocating for it. All Americans should be treated equally, regardless of what they believe or don't believe about religion. So if you're a devout Christian, or you're Jewish, or you're a Muslim, Hindu, you're an atheist, whatever you might be, you're standing with the state should be the same. You should all stand on the same equal playing field. The concern I have is that in this culture and in this society and in this government increasingly, because you know most people are still religious in this nation, the rights of the believer, the rights of the majority Christian are often by default elevated above the rights of others. There is still a lot of prejudice in our society right now against Muslims. There's a good bit of prejudice against non-believers. There's prejudice against other religious minorities. We've even seen a rise in anti-Semitic incidents. It's very troubling. So we need to get back to this idea that the Constitution mandates neutrality. Government is not supposed to promote religion, advocate for it, or push it in any way. That's not the state's job. Now, as private citizens, of course, we all have the right to go out, to spread our religious views, to proselytize, to preach them, or our non-religious views. But that's not something that the government should take on. Yet they often do, it seems to me.
One of the things that we see members of this government, this administration doing quite zealously is to turn the idea of religious freedom over on its head, right? The Constitution protects the freedom to practice one's religion, which basically means ensuring that one is not discriminated against for being Christian or Muslim or Hindu or any of any religion. They seem to have used this idea of religious freedom. They call it religious liberty, to actually promote exactly the opposite, which is Christian domination, right?
Yes, you're exactly right, and it's very troubling. Religious freedom is an extremely important principle. It's a wonderful thing, and we pioneered that principle in this country, so we should be proud of that. But religious freedom was never intended to be a club that you can use to beat your neighbor over the head with. It's to protect your right to go to a house of worship as you see fit, to pray, to sing religious hymns, to read religious books, to raise your children in your faith. And as I said earlier, on your own time and with your own dime, to go out into the world and spread your message. But religious freedom doesn't give you any power to take away the rights of another, to refuse to serve somebody in a secular business, to tell an LGBTQ person that they should have lesser rights, to deny medical treatment or care to somebody. That's absurd. Yet that is what we are seeing under this administration. Policy after policy, rules, interpretations of regulations at the federal level, where religious freedom is suddenly being turned into a sword that lashes out at others instead of a shield that should protect us.
In fact, you were saying earlier that you know the majority of people in this country still identify as Christian. There was a recent poll, the Pew Research Center on Religion and Public Life, that actually is showing the decline of Christianity in the United States. A sort of interesting aside or backdrop to this conversation that surveys show conducted in 2018 and 2019 show that 65% of American adults now describe themselves as Christian. That's 12 points down over the past decade. And those who identify as either atheist, agnostic, or quote, nothing in particular, now stands at 26%. That's up from 17% in 2019. 9. So it's interesting. The country appears to be becoming less Christian, although still a majority, 65%, while the government appears to be promoting Christianity more. And I'm wondering if this is sort of a recognition by evangelicals or Christian fundamentalists, or, you know, those who kind of maybe are worried about the waning Christianness of this country.
You're absolutely right about that. I mean, it is remarkable when you look at the figures. In the 1950s, you know, something like 96% of the population identified as Christian. Here we are in 2019, and it's down to 65%. And that number is projected to continue to go down, because if you look at the millennials, the number of them that identify as Christian, it's even lower. So this trend is going to continue. Now, this has, I think, generated something of a backlash. The very conservative fundamentalist evangelicals are really worried about the rise of the so-called nuns, people who say that they have no religion. They're worried about the drop in the number of Christians. So they're just sort of, I think, trying to grasp on to whatever types of power that they can get a hold of. And ironically, right now, they have this very favorable administration in Washington, D.C. that's giving them all these things. This is exactly the wrong moment for our nation to be embracing Christian nationalism, because we're more diverse than ever, and we're only going to continue to be diverse. What we need to be doing instead is looking for a way to make it clear that all Americans, whether they're Christian, Buddhist, Jew, Muslim, Hindu, atheist, skeptic, whatever they might be, Wiccan, pagan, that they're all welcome in the American experiment. Their voice is welcome, and they all stand on equal ground. We need to get back to that principle and get away from this idea that the government has some role to play in endorsing religion or promoting it. It doesn't.
In addition to the speech that he gave, being a Christian leader, Pompeo has been quite overt in the foreign policy aspect of his work, emphasizing his Christian, as he gave a speech at a group called Christians for Israel, which is a very, you know, overtly political organization. You know, the U.S. has very much fallen on one side of the issue with the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and evangelical Christians have thrown in their lot with the Zionist aspect of Israel's government. And so for Pompeo to make the speech at Christians United for Israel also seems to be very much an inappropriate influence, Christian influence in our foreign policy. But of course, if he were truly Christian, wouldn't he, for example, speak out more strongly against Saudi Arabia's murder of Jamal Khashoggi, or Duterte's murder of, ordinary Filipinos in the Philippines for drug use? It seems as though he is taking the existing foreign policy goals of Trump and applying a Christian veneer to them, but not actually applying Christian standards across the board.
Right. And I think what we need right now is not a Christian voice, but a moral voice. Mm. That is the perspective from which our government should always speak.
And most major religions have very common standards of morality.
Right. And an ethical voice, but a voice that sort of transcends all those faiths. And also to reassert the secular nature of our government. That's very important. That is not a dirty word. Secularism as a government feature is a very positive thing. In our interactions with the Muslim world, for instance, I think it's helpful for us to constantly be reminding and speaking from the perspective that we are not a Christian nation. We are a secular nation with a lot of Christians living in it, but that our government is officially secular. We don't want to create this impression of a clash of religions. You know, that's from the Middle Ages, a long time ago. We should be beyond that now. Make it clear that we're speaking from a secular perspective. And also, I think, to remind other nations that that is a good thing. There are some countries in the world today that we interact with, as we should, that don't really respect the religious rights of minority groups that have a particular perspective, and they're forcing that onto others. The more we can get across the idea of toleration within that states and within those states and the power of religious freedom for all and secular government, I think we should be open about that as a positive good for governments around the world.
I should mention, by the way, earlier this year, Pompeo had convened this very controversial Commission on Unalienable Rights, which he claimed was basically a human rights approach or campaign. And the panel was to be headed by a woman named Marianne Glendon, who is a very overtly anti-abortion critic. And she is, this particular commission is also aimed, many people worry, at chipping away the rights of LGBTQ Americans and equal marriage rights. So it's very interesting. This goes back definitely earlier this year. Well, let me ask you this, Rob, what should happen to Pompeo if he is appearing to inappropriately promote Christian, you know, supremacy, if you will, or domination over other religions, or just in general, improperly promote Christianity? Is there some legal recourse? Can he be sued? Should there be an investigation or an inquiry?
I think it's worth looking into it. In fact, our organization has asked the Inspector General's office at the State Department to look into this. The speech, the promotion of it through official government channels. You know,
I think that's a Christian leader speech. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. It's highly inappropriate. And as I said, he's not the only one doing it. William Barr gave a speech at Notre Dame around the same time attacking secular government, which was absolutely appalling. And we, you know, obviously this is an administration that, whether they mean it genuinely or they're just using it for political purposes, has embraced a certain expression of Christianity. I mean, if you look at the polling data, the one group that's sticking with Trump very closely, where there's been very little attrition, are the white evangelical conservative Christians. So he wants to keep them on board. I think personally, I think a lot of this is political. I think it's geared toward the election next year. It's not so much a genuine expression of faith as it is a way of using religion as a way to keep this particular part of his base on board, especially in light of what the president's going through right now with the impeachment proceedings.
Right. I mean, but
that's
doesn't
not
it,
the proper purpose of religion. You're not supposed to use religion for political purposes right. like that.
Doesn't it seem to you that this particular base of American evangelical Christians is exposing their utter hypocrisy in backing a person, a president who has in his own personal life and his dealings so openly violated supposedly Christian tenets, and that they back him because they know he's a tool to promote the anti-abortion agenda or the anti-LGBTQ agenda. And it just seems like this should cause some sort of moral conscious, sort of battle within them, a battle of conscience within these communities, but they seem fine with it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they are the rankest of hypocrites. And, you know, if anything good comes out of this experience we've been through the past few years, it will be that is just utterly exposed to the American people. I mean, you could think about some of the things that Trump has done and play a little game in your head and say, you know, what if a Democratic president had done that? And they would be just absolutely screaming from the rooftops about how awful some of these things were had they been done by anybody else. But because it's Trump and he gives them the judges that they like and he gives them other policies that they like, they've just excused all of that. They are utter hypocrites, and I have no problem saying that, and I hope that the American people can see that as well. But I want to make one other point about this. We have to remember, this is a certain segment of the American Christian population. There are a lot of other Christian leaders out there who are challenging the conservative evangelicals, the fundamentalists, the religious right. Now, their voice could be a little louder, but it's growing, and I hope that it continues to grow, because we need an understanding that an entire faith should not be corrupted by the hypocritical actions of this segment. And the more people speak out against that, I think the better off we'll be.
Rob, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Very quickly, give out a website for your organization.
Sure. We're real easy to find at au.org. That's au.org. So come on by and see what we're up to.
Rob Boston is senior advisor at the group Americans United for Separation of Church and State. And we've been discussing how State Secretary Mike Pompeo has pushed Christianity out the State Department. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our video channel on Vimeo, and find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify.